Who is Isildur? Based on the opening to the Lord of the Rings films, you might think of him as weak-willed and the cause of a lot of problems later on, but there's a lot more to him than that. It's time to reassess the legend of Isildur. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel we cover The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and much more. If you like the sound of that, welcome. We know the story of Isildur as it plays out in the Fellowship of the Ring movie flashbacks. Isildur cutting the ring from Sauron, Elrond leading him up to the Cracks of Doom in order to destroy it, then Isildur deciding with a smile not to, and keeping it for himself. "I was there the day the strength of men failed," Elrond proclaims. "The hearts of men are easily corrupted," pronounces Galadriel when talking about the same moment. Centuries later, Aragorn has doubts about whether he should be king, seemingly mostly because he is related to Isildur. Arwen reassures him that, "You are Isildur's heir, not Isildur himself. You are not bound to his fate." The impression is clear. Isildur was weak, corrupted, fell under the power of the ring, and represents all that is fallible and doomed about humanity. If only he were a better man, a stronger-willed man. But that's not what happened in the books. Not at all. In the books, Aragorn isn't trying to escape being king. He seeks it, and he proudly proclaims himself the heir of Isildur as a thing to be proud of, not something to be ashamed of. So what's going on? Well, a lot of this stems from the fact that the flashback at the beginning of the films is close to, but not exactly, what happened in the books. To be sure, we need to go delving into the appendices to The Lord of the Rings and Unfinished Tales to get the full story, but when we do, it paints a very different picture. Isildur's story begins, however, back in Numenor. He was born the eldest son of Elendil the Tall and grandson of Amandil, of the line of the Lords of Andúnië, one of the regions of Numenor, and direct descendants of the kings of Numenor. Most importantly, his family were the leaders of the faithful, the group in Numenor who stood firm in worship of Eru, Ilúvatar, and in friendship with the elves. It's worth noting that Isildur and Elendil are both Quenya names, elven, basically, so the kinship is strong. Isildur grew up, married, and had his first child in Numenor, as the oppression of the faithful got worse and worse, and Numenor slid towards its cataclysmic fall. We don't know many details of his time there, but it's clear he shared his family's just convictions and was brave and heroic, and we do have one brief story that shows his character. When he learned that King Ar-Pharazôn was planning on cutting down the tree Nimloth, a gift from the elves and a symbol of friendship between the two peoples, Isildur snuck in and stole a fruit from it, planting it in secret and rescuing it from the flames. He nearly died from the wounds he sustained on that one-man mission. And the sapling that grew from the fruit he saved became the first white tree of Gondor. Isildur was 110 when Numenor was destroyed. Numenorians lived long lives, so he was still a young man, or early middle-aged by their standards. He, his father and his brother Anarion were on ships and escaped, although the storms separated them en route to Middle-earth. Elendil ended up in the north of the map that we now know, founding the kingdom of Arnor, and Isildur and Anarion ended up in the south, forming Gondor. Isildur and Anarion joint-ruled, a not insignificant point, and it's worth taking a moment to consider the inferences we can draw from this. Isildur was the oldest son and heir. It was completely within his rights under Numenorean law to rule Gondor all by himself, but instead, he set up a co-rulership with his younger brother. Each had their own city, Minas Anor, later known as Minas Tirith, and Minas Ithil, later known as Minas Morgul. And the capital, Osgiliath, had two thrones in the throne room, side by side, not Isildur's set a little higher. This was true joint rulership with his brother. Why is this important? Because it tells us that Isildur was not someone who sought power for its own sake. He could have ruled on his own. Everyone will have expected him to rule on his own. But he chose not to. A big clue, I think, to why the One Ring later found it hard to control him, as we'll see. He didn't seek power like so many other men. But we're jumping ahead. Sauron had also survived the destruction of Numenor, and shortly after the founding of Gondor, launched an all-out attack on Middle-earth. Isildur's stronghold of Minas Ithil was overrun. Isildur headed off to get the aid of his father and Gil-galad, and the last alliance of elves and men was formed. We know the next bit of the story well. Sauron's forces were driven back, but eventually Sauron came out to meet his foes and killed Gil-galad and Elendil, while they struck him down. Isildur grabbed his father's broken sword, cut the ring from Sauron, and ended the war. Up to this point, I'm sure we can all agree that Isildur is a bit of a hero. There was that epic mission in Numenor, saving several shiploads of innocent people from the destruction of the island, being humble enough to share rule of his new kingdom with his younger brother, and now ending Sauron's rule of terror. In the films, he then, apparently at Elrond's prompting, heads straight up to the Cracks of Doom to destroy the ring. What a guy. But then, according to the films, he is overtaken by its power, refuses to destroy it, and instead marches off at the head of an army to... Well, we're not told what he was planning to do, because he dies before he can do it. The clear implication is that if only he had more strength, all the problems to follow wouldn't have happened. We're invited to feel a bit sorry for him. The One Ring's power was huge, and at its greatest at the place where it was forged, so we can hardly blame Isildur for not going through with destroying it. No one else ever went through with trying to destroy the ring, not even Frodo. But that is not what happened in the books. First, it's not clear that Isildur did go to the Cracks of Doom. In fact, he probably didn't. Elrond says this: Isildur took it, the ring, as should not have been. It should have been cast then into Orodruin's fire, nigh at hand where it was made. But few marked what Isildur did. He alone stood by his father in that last mortal contest, and by Gil-galad only Círdan stood, and I. But Isildur would not listen to our counsel. So Isildur had a battlefield discussion with Elrond and Círdan, and yes, they advised him to destroy the ring, and yes, he seems to have refused, but we're not told why, then. And he didn't have that moment of failure, losing himself to the ring's power. There was no moment when the strength of man failed. Sorry, movie Elrond. But even if that dramatic moment wasn't there, wasn't the outcome the same? Wasn't Isildur corrupted by the ring's power? Didn't he still head off at the head of his army down a dark path that would surely have ended in him trying to conquer the world himself? Well, no. In fact, he seems to do almost the exact opposite. After the war is over, Sauron is defeated and everyone goes home. Isildur lingers in the south, doing very sensible, boring tasks, the kinds of things a conscientious ruler would do when preparing for peace. He inherited the title of High King of Arnor as well as Gondor from his father, but instead of heading straight there and claiming his crown, he stayed for a year in Minas Tirith, we read, restoring its order and defining its bounds. He went on a tour of the borders of Gondor with Meneldil, his nephew, and left him in charge. There's no hint here of Isildur looking to conquer new lands, expand his kingdom's borders, gain new power for himself, save that which he was due to inherit anyway. No, if anything, he was giving power away. He previously had day-to-day rulership over half of Gondor, and now he was giving that up to Meneldil. So why did he keep the ring if he seemed so immune to its immediate effects? The short answer is pride. Isildur wasn't perfect. He thought he could master the ring for himself and use it for good. Many others have been tempted by the same thoughts. But crucially, after a year of trying, Isildur seems to have come to the startling revelation that he couldn't do it. He wasn't strong enough to master the ring, so he had to give it up to wiser and better people than himself. I call this a startling revelation because this isn't how the ring usually works on people. Usually, the longer they have it, the more they think that they are in control and they should keep it. Witness Bilbo's slow descent into, after all, why shouldn't I keep it? And Frodo's insistence near the end that only he could bear the ring. So, his duty in Gondor done, Isildur set off north and west. His fateful journey that took him to his death was intended to first be a journey to Imladris, Rivendell. He wanted to pick up his wife and baby son en route to his new northern home. But we're also told, very clearly, that as well as that, he was in great haste. He had an urgent need for the Council of Elrond. Why? Well, we'll find out soon enough. The party was set upon by orcs in the Gladden Fields, and things looked bleak. Isildur's son Elendur came to him and said, why not put on the ring? If he did, then surely the orcs would obey him. He could stop the attack right then. We read this. Alas, said Isildur, I cannot use it. I dread the pain of touching it, and I have not yet found the strength to bend it to my will. It needs one greater than I now know myself to be. My pride has fallen. It should go to the Keepers of the Three. So Isildur was going to Elrond because he wanted to give him the ring. Isildur, perhaps uniquely among the ring-bearers, came to the conclusion, after much introspection, that he could not control the ring himself, and decided that he should hand it over to someone else, someone wiser than himself. Far from Isildur taking the ring to gain power and rule, he gave up some of the power he had, then decided to give up the ring as well. It is only when things were looking really grim in that battle with the orcs, when there seemed to be no other ways out, that Isildur agreed to put the ring on at all. Elendur begged him once more. My king, said Elendur, Kurion is dead and Aratan is dying. Your last counsellor must advise, nay, command you, as you commanded Otar, go, take your burden, and at all costs bring it to the keepers, even at the cost of abandoning your men and me. King's son, said Isildur, I knew that I must do so, but I feared the pain, nor could I go without your leave. Forgive me. And Isildur turned, leaving his men, putting on the ring, and tried to escape. To escape in order to give the ring up, to leave it to wiser souls such as Elrond to decide what to do with it. I think we all know what Elrond would have suggested doing with it. Destroy it. Finally, perhaps it now makes sense why the ring should make itself fall from Isildur's finger at that moment. The king was not turning Isildur, and it was not going to in the near future. If Isildur made it across the river with the ring, he would have been free, and it would have been destroyed. Better to lurk at the bottom of a river for a few thousand years than be destroyed. Now, of course, Isildur isn't truly perfect. Pride does seem to be a factor here. It was his pride that led him to believe that he could master the ring in the first place, even if he overcame that. It was his pride that led him to be trekking across open country with a small force in the first place, believing all orcs to be vanquished. But he overcame his pride. His last words to his son, indeed the last words we hear him say to anyone, are, "Forgive me, and my pride that has brought you to this doom." We even read of Isildur's feelings in the moments after he realizes the ring had left him. At first, so overwhelming was his sense of loss that he struggled no more and would have sunk and drowned. But swift as it had come, the mood passed. The pain had left him. A great burden had been taken away. His feet found the riverbed, and heaving himself up out of the mud, he floundered through the reeds to a marshy islet close to the western shore. We know how others felt when they lost the ring. Anguish, an unquenchable desire to get it back. But Isildur emerges, literally, from the river, seemingly relieved that he no longer had the burden of the ring. Isildur was proud, but he overcame that. His last acts were all about trying to give up the ring, recognizing his fallibility, about trying to get the ring to Elrond. That's why the ring abandoned him, and that's why we should honour him. At the last, Isildur did not represent the failing of the strength of men, but one of its greatest, most selfless acts. That's why Aragorn was proud to declare himself the heir of Isildur. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link to my playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.